everyone, and welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 128, recording February 21st, 2021. My name is Zach Anderson, and this week we are discussing Nintendo, movie trailers, game trailers, more! And to do all that, I have with me, as always, Mr. Shannon Buzzkill Moore.
Look, so,
just tell me how everything sucks already, Shannon. It's fine.
I'll get into it later, but I mean, why do I gotta be the buzzkill just for saying that things, you know, you can't just keep remaking the same crap and expecting everybody to be excited about it.
And yet here we are, 2021, everyone. Okay. Also joining us, Mr. Justin, oof, bruh, Carter.
Bruh.
Yeah, Zach posted a post on Twitter saying, like, an image that, like, shows, like, basically your soul without, like, it being a selfie of you. And I posted a Yu-Gi-Oh! Meme of them locking hands, and it was someone that says, bruh, and someone that says, oof, and then in the middle it was adding nothing to the conversation, which I do on a weekly basis.
you find that to be your main, you know.
Yeah. Oof more than bruh, but.
Gotcha. Okay. Oof, bruh.
But yeah, like, I'll be working and Megan will, like, go on, like, a 5-minute tangent about something that sucks at work and I'll just go, oof. It's like a quick.
You're like, I got nothing else for you, babe. Just oof.
Yeah, that's it. Just oof it.
Yep. you know, that is the lesson every man learns at some point is no one wants you to fix their shit. They just want a bitch and have someone listen to it. And so, yeah, sometimes just throwing an oof out there, you know, or like, oh, that bitch, seriously? You know, like, it, just something along those lines. Like, get you way more than, well, let me tell you how to fix that. Or have you tried this? It's like, they don't want it. Stop fixing things. Like, yeah. No one cares.
You want to admit, like, to sleep on the couch fast? That's the way to do it.
Yeah. Sure. 100%.
I'm at the point in my life where I understand why my dad was always out in the yard doing so much yard work, and it was never to actually do yard work. It was just to stand out there and get away from everything for, like, 3 hours.
He had, like, one of those coolers that was over in the corner that screwed out of a shrubbery that had, like, a six-pack in there just so he could like, hang out.
Standing there watering the same tree for the last 90 minutes.
It's like, you know, sometimes you just need 90 minutes of peace and goddamn quiet. You know, that's all I'm saying. Sometimes. Not saying. Just saying. Anyway, before some people listen to this and I get in trouble. Hey, gentlemen, how's your week been? How's things?
Justin, go for it.
My week's been pretty good. I've been catching up on a lot of anime. I was telling Shannon before the show, I was like, this week at work, since it's like approaching end of the month, it's just fucking like horrible. So I was drowning my sorrows in Impractical Jokers is on HBO Max. So I started at season 1, and I'm like about at season 4 now, which gotcha. I've seen the show, I think, up through at least like season 5, so most of it's reruns for me, but it still makes me cringe every time at some of the stuff they do. I'm like, I don't know how they have the balls to sit there and do that to, like, random people in public. I can do it to a certain point, but then I hit that threshold of, like, I don't know if I'd put a random stranger's, like fingers in the mouth, okay, like, toes. I'm like, I don't, like.
If you do that around here, you're going to get shot.
Yeah, like, well, did you see that whole thing, that one YouTube guy that was, like, running up on people like he was gonna rob him and someone shot
like
his ass?
Prank, like, video in the Bronx or whatever, and like got shot.
And it's like, what literally what did you think was gonna happen? Like, bro, like, come on. Like,
my favorite thing was, like, in the comments, people were like, bro, why don't you just fucking stage it with your friends like any other YouTuber does when they do this?
Totally. Like, no one does this thing for real, man, because you'll get shot, you dumbass. Like,
dude, that's like that. There was that YouTuber too that this was like, I don't even remember. It was like a year or so ago. That person who died or whatever because, like, him and his girlfriend had a YouTube channel and he had, like, a dictionary or Bible or something and, like, held it against his chest, like, stop a bullet. And I guess it, like, I don't remember. I think she missed the book and, like, shot him in the stomach in, like, their house and, like, he ended up dying. I was like, dude. Like, what are you doing right now?
Like, oh my god. Like, and you know, it's been proven time and again, the internet is the worst invention of all mankind. It's, you know.
How's your ankle holding up there?
It's my hamstring, but thank you for asking. And
wait, pay attention, dog. Like, totally different part of the leg there. Like,
it's still a part of the leg, Shannon. Like, Jesus Christ.
I mean, he's at least in the ballpark. You know, it's the same sport. It's like, but no. It's actually getting a little better. I can move much easier. I start physical therapy this week. Should be good times. Hey, yeah, it's, don't get old, people. It sucks. Like, I'm just telling you. Justin, I don't recommend being 42. It's not fun. Shannon's almost there. So.
I was going to say, how about 41? Because that's where I'll be in like 2 weeks.
Yeah. 41, I was all right. No major problems. No major injuries. It was pretty good. But for, you know, there was a pandemic that wasn't too fun, but 42, it's off to a roaring start.
I'm just going to start 3D printing braces for my body. Right. Just to, you know, pad myself. I got a year, figure I can get at least a couple of them done before then.
Yeah. You'll have to make sure you actually take them off the printer though.
Damn it. I was going to make that.
I knew it. I was like, I have to get it before Zach says it.
I hate you guys sometimes. You wonder why I'm a buzzkill. It's because...
Because you're never going to finish that table like I said you will, but...
Fuck. I am going to finish that table.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to post it.
And Xenogears. So, yeah. We're going up. We're off to a good start.
Fuck off.
So if we're wondering... If you're wondering why I'm calling Shannon Senor Buzzkill... this week, there was a Nintendo Direct out of nowhere, seemingly, like Nintendo is wont to do. This was the first, Justin, am I right in saying this was the first party Nintendo Direct they've had, like, in a year or more?
Yeah, it's been over a year. Yeah, we were going to, like, year and a half territory, and this was the first, like, not a mini Direct, not a third party, not the indie world, but, like, an actual straight up out of the box first edition Nintendo Direct.
And you gotta imagine that's COVID related, you know, like, because Nintendo's is pretty notorious for having like everyone do their work at the offices and team group settings and all that type of stuff. And so I imagine this new world we're living in now was a hard shift to their culture. But so anyway, we got the Nintendo Direct. And it was basically focused on first half of this year. Was supposed to be the point of it. Speculation ran wild. We're gonna get Breath of the Wild 2. It's Zelda 35th anniversary. Here we go. It's happening. And guess what? It didn't happen. No. To the point, though, I appreciate that they at least got out there and were like, yeah, guys, nah, we ain't got it, and it ain't coming. We'll probably talk to you more about it at the end of the year, but how about some Skyward Sword instead, and roll that beautiful bean footage. And so that's what they did. And yeah, Skyward Sword, arguably the worst console Zelda ever made, is getting wonderfully remade for the Switch. They're at least ditching the motion controls, and so you can play it with a button scheme only, which actually might help that game a lot, because that was one of the big things when I tried to mess with it on way back when on the Wii, was like, dude, that control scheme made me want to throw the whole damn system in the garbage. Like, it was the worst. But so instant reaction from you guys. Skyward Sword HD.
When I saw the motion controls, I was like, this is horrible. I'm never going to play this game. Not that I, because I didn't play it because I didn't have a Wii. So, you know, I was interested in it. It looked decent. But then I saw the motion controls. I was like, I'm out. You know, you, everybody knows my takes on motion controls. I hate them. And then they were like, but wait, we have thought. And, you know, my first question also when I saw the motion controls was, how are they going to play that on the Switch Lite? You know, and they took out like half of their demographic there.
Which is actually a great point. And sorry to cut you off. I hadn't considered that because you're absolutely right. There is this whole non-motion control component to the Switch market now. And so, yeah, continue. I just hadn't considered
that. No, it's fine. Because yeah. I was thinking the same thing with my Hori controllers, because I like those a lot more than the than the standard Joy-Cons. And I was like, well, now I'm definitely not playing this game. And then they were like, but wait, we have a solution for this for the people who don't have motion controls. We're going to use the left analog stick for your shield and the right analog stick for your sword. And now I'm thinking, okay, well, that solves that problem. But how are you moving around in combat and still using the Joy-Cons, you know, to do your movements? There's got to be another button. Like maybe you hold down like your left trigger or your right trigger, so you actuate the weapon and then you can control it. And then you can disengage by letting go of the button and then moving around. But it just started to feel a little bit overwhelming with the combat at that point. And I don't like to have to worry about the direction I'm going to be swinging my sword and moving the Joy-Con in that direction with the sword. I was just like, you know what? Like, this game has already lost me. Like, I'm out. Like, I don't want to do this. And then I saw the price of $60. And $60 for a remade game on a Switch, I am not... I'm definitely... I hit the eject button so fast on that. Like, at that point, I was like, nah, I'm out. I'm done. Justin, how do you feel about it?
I mean, I would have been 100% surprised if it wasn't $60 because
same.
Nintendo, yeah. Like, that is their game. It will forever be $60. I mean, Odyssey is still $60, and that came out years ago.
Almost four now. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. And it's like, you know, Mario Kart 8, it's been so long since everyone was kind of hoping for a Mario Kart 9 announcement because it's been so long since 8 came out and we didn't get it. But yeah, I'll admit I was disappointed because as soon as he came on with his little Legend of Zelda shirt, like I was like, oh my God, like everyone shut the fuck up, like Breath of the Wild 2. And then he's like, yeah, we don't have any news for Breath of the Wild 2. And I just like sunk down on my chair and I was like, God damn it. Like nothing, like, you know, not even like a desktop screensaver picture or something with like the title screen.
I'll give them credit, though, like coming out and saying, hey, we don't have anything to show you right now, instead of coming up with like the title screen or just like a snippet to make people think that you're further along than you really are. Like, I give them props for not setting people up for an expectation or setting themselves up for failure.
And not pulling a Microsoft where they're like, here it is, Breath of the Wild 2. And the whole internet's like, oh my God, that looks like total shit. Oh no. Oh no, this is awful. And they're like, just kidding, we'll be back in a year. Nintendo is very good at not showing you until it's ready to be shown. Like they will not bring out something too early, which I appreciate actually.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say, is Nintendo's usually really good about being really upfront and stuff about projects and stuff that's kinda going on. That was kind of my disappointment, though, too, was the fact that, again, we heard nothing about Bayonetta 3 or Metroid Prime 4, which I'm just like, not even like a, I'm like, is it this year? Next year?
Or just tell me it's canceled at this point. Just being like, nah, dog, there's no Metroid Prime. Sorry. Like,
but it's one of those things, though, too, where it's like, I still kind of, I don't know about Metroid Prime, but at least for Bayonetta, I still kind of am holding out hope for this year, because Nintendo always has a first-party game every month released. Like, Pokemon Snap is April's, and then, like, they showed, like, Mario Golf or whatever, I think, is, like, June's. And so I'm like, dude, October, as far as I know, still open. So I'm like, October, Bayonetta 3? I'm like, makes sense? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe in September or something, they're like, hey, October 15th, Bayonetta.
And then me and Mike Miller on the Discord were going back and forth a little bit because he's buying not only Skyward Sword, but the Joy-Cons that are $80 to go with it.
They're gonna start drifting in like a month.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there like, I cannot imagine being like, hell yes, here is $150 to play Skyward Sword. Like, I just can't wrap my head around that. And I mean, I to be fair, I am the first person to admit I am not a Zelda guy. Like, I am not a Zelda super fan. I like Zelda. I have played many Zelda games. I enjoy them. I don't understand the fervor people have for Zelda. And I mean, I go back to NES Legend of Zelda. Like, I've played me some Zelda games. But I've never understood it. Like, I've never gotten it. Like, why this franchise is so held up and so revered. I mean, do any of you guys understand? Like, why someone who I consider, despite his love of Mountain Dew and all things that want to kill him, I consider Mike Miller a pretty level-headed guy for as long as I've known him. For him to be like, hell yes, here's a half the cost of an Xbox Series X to play Skyward Sword, like, that just seems insane to me. Like, I don't get it.
Like, I love, like, the Legend of Zelda series, and I've played, I think, pretty much every game in the series, but it's, like, funny, because the ones I really like are, like, the ones you don't hear. Like, I honestly don't think Ocarina of Time's not my favorite, all of them. Like, honestly, Minish Cap for the Game Boy Advance is probably, my number one.
Yeah, like, dude. And where is that remake? You know,
they didn't give it some time.
What's that?
I mean, I would eat up, like, a Minish Cap remake in the same style that they did the Link's Awakening remake. Like, give me that. Totally. Like, give me, collect those runes and, like, make little connect them, find people in the village, give me my mole mitts back, my rock cape.
Yeah, yep. I don't know. I haven't played any Zelda game since the original Zelda and, like, Zelda 2 or something like that. And then Breath of the Wild was, like, my next iteration. I tried Majora's Mask, and I was not impressed with it. But, you know, I want to like the series. I want something new. I don't want something that Nintendo is remaking.
Well, but that's all Nintendo does, dude.
I know.
Even the new games are, like, I'm hyped for Mario Golf. Mm-hmm. I like Mario Golf. The series of Mario Golf is awesome.
Yeah, it is.
It's Mario Golf. Like, guess what? It's Mario Golf for the Switch. And I'm going to buy it because I like Mario Golf. But, like, all they did was make Mario Golf again. It's like Mario Kart. Mario Kart's the same thing. Like, it looks prettier. There's a couple new functions. Guess what? It's still basically the same game that came out on the Super Nintendo. Like, that's it. That's what they do. And it's fine. That's their thing.
I get it. It's just, you know, when you're releasing a lot of these titles for the 15th, 16th time, you know, I would say that there's got to be some type of plan, right? Like, let's release these titles that people love, that people want to play, build a revenue stream, and then let's take a shot at a new IP. Like, that's what I would do. Like, build up your nest egg so that you can develop something that you want to take a risk on. Because, like, these things are always going to be around. People are going to have a soft spot for them. They're going to buy these games. Like, that's fine. Like, milk your user base, but, like, come out with something new that gets people hyped for, like, for a new generation of players, right? Like, keep your stream going. You know, I think, you know, with the way that Nintendo is going, I think that their user base is going to diminish just because, you know, 40-year-old guys, you know, are, you know, not going to want to play, you know, these older type single player games, like, especially since everybody's going to Warzone or these, you know, free for all, you know, mass open world games, like the multiplayer.
And apparently we're the last three people that don't play Grand Theft Auto online.
Apparently, yeah. Like, they don't have my money.
Want to hear a stat that'll melt your brain?
Yeah, sure.
So Breath of the Wild, easily the most successful Zelda game that they've released in probably two decades, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has sold essentially 21 million copies as of to date. It came out in 2017. Grand Theft Auto sold 20 million copies last year.
And that game has been out for like six, seven years?
Yeah. Last Grand Theft Auto 5 sold 20 million copies last year. Like, they've sold 120 million copies of Grand Theft Auto since release. Like, it's insane.
You're never going to get a Grand Theft Auto 6 or whatever, right?
Oh, maybe some point when they kind of need a complete rehaul, refresh. But, I mean, they have a platform now, man. Like, it is just, yeah.
I mean, does anybody remember the original story that went along with Grand Theft Auto 5? I mean,
no. There was some, like, meth head dude named Trevor that would beat people. I don't know. Like, it just, yeah.
But, I mean, just kind of glossing over a lot of these games, because I know you guys are going to talk about some of your favorites. Like, there wasn't a lot of hype for me. I mean, like, Mario Golf, yeah, I'm going to pick that up. I don't think I'm going to pick up the Three Scales, like the tactical RPG that they were showing
what?
From the Octopath Traveler people. Like, I don't think I'm going to pick that up because
Fire Emblem. That would be the one game out of this whole list where I'm like, that's Shannon.
I know, right, but like, but Fire Emblem does that bet. I like Fire Emblem's way of doing that type of tactical RPG setup.
When that game drops, which granted it's not coming till 2022. Mm-hmm. You're going to need a game that you're not going to finish by that point. And, you know, so come on.
Look, my resolution this year was to finish pretty much every game that I buy. I said pretty much, not all of them, but like that's my goal. So like that moniker of
and that's this year. This is 2022.
I know, and that's the other thing, right? Is like this Nintendo
new decade old Shannon. This is what I'm talking about.
What's supposed to be like what's coming down the pipeline in the next like 6 months to get you excited, right? 6 months. So why are they showing us Splatoon 3, which is going to be out in probably not the first quarter of 2022.
Nah.
And then like this other tactical RPG, which is going to be out in 2022. It's like they wanted.
At least Project Triangle had the demo out. That's what made sense for me with it being there was you could download that demo to play today. And it was like, okay. You know, but yeah, Splatoon was like, you're telling me it's not, there's no chance for it this year. So why am I seeing this at all?
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems weird.
Just chill out, guys. But then like, I mean, it's like, okay, now you got Fall Guys coming mm-hmm. Coming to the Switch. You got Outer Wilds, which has been out on like every other platform. Like, I just feel that like they're putting out titles that a lot of people have already played on other platforms that, it just doesn't seem exciting to me. I mean, like you had Plants vs. Zombies, like again, like Garden Warfare, like, I mean, that seems interesting, but I don't know if I'm going to jump in on that. Like everything else kind of seemed boring or like things that they were adding on to like Animal Crossing, you're getting Mario stuff. Great. Like I haven't played Animal Crossing forever. Justin, I don't think you've touched Animal Crossing in like 6 months.
That's not true.
Oh God! All right. Okay. Well.
What about Stubbs the Zombie, bro? March 16th, right before day before your birthday. Happy birthday! I'm gonna get you Stubbs the Zombie.
Go for it, dude. Like I won't be upset. I might be. I don't know. I don't know. Like it just. I was very underwhelmed. Like, hey, you guys like Hades, right? Like that game came mm-hmm. out a long time ago. Well, we're gonna come out with a physical copy that's gonna give you a book and maybe some music that goes along with it and get some artwork. Like, great, have fun with that. Like, you know, Ninja Gaiden.
It's funny you bring up the physical copy. I was having this conversation with my wife this week where, so my daughter for Christmas got a Paw Patrol Switch game, and mm-hmm. she was playing it. And then my wife wanted to play Animal Crossing and was like, oh, God damn it, because the Animal Crossing we have on a cartridge. And so she had to find the cartridge, swap them out, like when she just wanted to sit down and play Animal Crossing. And I was sitting there like, we were talking about this whole thing, and I'm like, oh, but that game I really like, Hades, is getting a physical release. And she's like, who the hell wants physical releases? It's such a pain in the ass. Like, why wouldn't I just download it? Like, why would you ever want a physical release? And I'm like, yeah, exactly. That's where I'm at. Like, I don't understand it anymore. Like, it's such a pain in the ass now when you just want to fire up a game, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's just that's just kind of what boggles my mind is, like, you have all this, like, filler, and then you have the games, you know, that people really want to hear about, and you have no updates on them. I think they're just kind of putting their eggs in the wrong basket. I would like to see more about Metroid, other than, like, a title screen that we saw at an E3, what, like, 2 or 3 years ago now?
Longer.
Yeah, like, it's just, dude, come on, Nintendo. Like, I did not leave that direct feeling happy about anything that they were talking about.
Dude, I'm surprised you didn't bring up World's End Club.
No, I saw that and I was like not excited. And then I saw like the DC superhero girls and I was just like, you know, I was like, okay, like I get it. And then it started to get more cringy with like the taking them shopping and playing dress up and doing all this other stuff. I was like, wow. I was like, could you please finish this demo faster? Because I just want you to get out of the cringe zone.
Don't forget, it's DC Superhero Girls Teen Power, by the way. Teen Power, yes.
Yeah, that made me feel gross. I don't know why it just did.
So let's go ahead and give a rundown of what old games were quote-unquote announced on this Direct. Sure, we got the Hades physical edition. Mm-hmm. Apex Legends mm-hmm. getting a new trailer. Let's see, the Plants vs. Zombies, mm-hmm. like you said, mm-hmm. Stubbs the Zombie, mm-hmm. Capcom Arcade bringing old Capcom games to the Switch, arguably the best, I forget that company's name, but Tales from the Borderland coming to the Switch, Legend of Mana remaster, sure, Samurai Warriors 5, 2 Famicom Detective games getting remade, the Famicom Detective Club, The Missing Heir, and The Girl Who Stands Behind, that are being sold separately at $35 a piece anyway, because you can't spell Nintendo with zero F's. And then we've got the 3DS style Miitopia, the Ninja Gaiden Master Collection, and Fall Guys, and I thought there was one more. Oh, Skyward Sword. Obviously. How many goddamn old games is it where they're like, hey, it's new. Look at all this new stuff we got. And I just rattled off at least 10 that are, you know, some are a couple years old, some are decades. But it's like, Jesus Christ.
I was going to say, you forgot Fall Guys and Outer Wilds. I mean, that's...
Oh, I forgot Outer Wilds. I forgot.
I mean, that is ridiculous. I can't... I'm tired of them... you know, polishing a game up and saying, like, it's new because we added one new feature in there. Like, I don't give a shit. And also, is it Ninja Gaiden or is it Ninja Gaiden? Like, I don't know. Have I pronounced it wrong? Like,
I always said Gaiden.
Okay. Okay.
I've always said Gaiden.
Gaiden? That sounds like a white person. Yeah. For sure. yeah, it's... It's charging $70 for 2 Famicom games. That was like, that was the moment where I'm like, fucking Nintendo. Like, God damn it. Like, but at the same time, you know what? People buy the shit. They're doing it because people fucking buy it. And yep. Like, I don't, guess what? If all that shit I rattled off sold 0 fucking copies in 2022, there would be 0 of that on that list. You know, like, it's just, you know, it makes them money. It's hard to be angry at the company doing the thing that makes them money. But, mm-hmm. you know, what are you going to do?
I mean, are either of you excited to play dodgeball in a team setting where you run around and pass each other,
you know, the ball and peg people? To be fair, I've learned to not judge books by covers because I wasn't excited at all to play soccer with cars. And then I played Rocket League and was like, this shit fucking rules. So I don't, you know, like, I'm willing to give it a chance. Like, maybe it's awesome. Maybe they've got some cool mechanics that I haven't thought of. I don't know. Odds are it'll be ass, but you know, hey, we'll give it a shot.
Now, I know you guys were excited to play Neon White, like that game kind of piqued your guys' interest. Like
that, yeah, of everything they rattled off on that direct, Justin came away with one game, and that game was Neon White.
Dude, well, yes. So you got the anime aesthetics with like the Oni, like Japanese, like demon looking mask, and people have like guns, and you're like blasting demons in the face with guns in fucking heaven. And then as soon as they said card based, I like immediately like pulled my debit card out, and I was like, guys, I'm buying this. Like, I don't care.
And somehow on your bank statement, they're like, you've already purchased this. You're like, what? I didn't even know it existed. And they're like, no, we just did it. It's fine.
Yeah. They're like, we saw it coming and we did you a solid. And I'm like, dude, this game could be $50, $60 and I would still buy it.
It looks a little too fast paced for me to be able to work in the card mechanic with like what's going on, unless the level progression is basically kind of like you're on rails and you're just kind of using the cards that you get, like kind of in like a sequence. I don't know. Like,
I wonder, are the cards might be like a loadout, you know, like COD type thing where it's like a series of buffs or something like that, that you get with your cards, quote unquote, but who knows?
Well, yeah. And it's like hard to kind of tell in the, cause you only see so much in the trailer, but it's like, there was like the gun card and it's like, as he's using the gun, it's like, there was like an amount of like ammo, whatever, to the card that he was using as he was like shooting off shots and stuff. So, but it definitely piqued my interest. I definitely want to play it. My other biggest takeaway was I could not, if you would have told me that they were actually going to take what was effectively the Street Pass games from 3DS, like all six of them, combine it into one game that you would actually have to pay for, I would have said bullshit. Like, when the Miitopia thing came out, I was like, okay, cool. They're basically bringing, like, the Street Pass thing or whatever to, like, the Switch. I was like, that's probably going to be, like, their, like, download for free today or whatever on the eShop. And when they were, like, pre-order, I was like, whoa, hold on. I'm like, they're actually, like, you're paying for this.
Yep. Which means no one will use it. Like, that was the cool thing about Street Pass, was it was free and it was just part of the system, and you would like go out to conventions or something, and then all of a sudden you had all this like all these Street Passes that you could go through and play games with and all this stuff, and it was awesome. But I don't know. Like, no, that ain't happening. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm also curious to see how many people actually carry their Switches on them. Like, frequently, I mean, I know a 3DS was a lot more compact and easier to kind of carry around, but like the Switch seems a lot more bulky and fragile compared to a 3DS. I'm just kind of wondering, you know.
I mean, the Lite is pretty small. Like, the Lite, I could see someone carrying that. The thing with the 3DS that was awesome was the clamshell design. So you could just fold it up, put it in your pocket, and be on your way. Especially that, like, original 3DS, the small one, not the XL, you know, like that was a total portable system. But I mean, Switch isn't huge. The Switch Lite anyway isn't huge. The regular OG Switch, yeah, that's a beast. Like that's a commitment. You're buying stuff to carry it, to move it, you know.
I was like, I'll never forget that like, me, Megan, and my friend Chris went to this MC Chris concert, and me and Chris brought our 3DSs, and we were standing in line, and Megan's like, why the fuck did you bring that to a concert? And I was like, bro, the Street Passes. And she's like, you're not gonna get any Street Passes. And, like, while after we got inside, I opened it, and I had, like, 12 of them, and I was like, boom, bitch! Like, I was like, don't you look stupid? And she's like, oh, yeah, I look so fucking stupid. Like, you just showed me.
I look so stupid being at a concert without my DS. Yeah, boy, I'm dumb. Like, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, was there anything else that stuck out for you guys? I mean, Star Wars Hunters, does that pique anybody's interest?
Considering it's made by Zynga? Nah, I'm good.
That was also one that I was like, Zynga's still alive?
Totally. Yeah, exactly.
Like, didn't they, like, just shut down the Farmville servers finally, like, earlier this year?
Man, that was a game back like 12 years ago. played me the shit out of Farmville.
Dude, you have to, like, download that, like, Yahoo fucking toolbar into your web browser to tell you when your watermelons are done.
Totally. Oh, shit. Yeah. Come on, Nintendo. You're bringing back old shit. Bring back Farmville. You get a single player experience now, you know?
Yeah, like, you're just taking shit from other people and putting it on your own console. Like, just do that. It's fine.
Farmville was great. Well, let's talk about old games we actually want to play, or at least I want to play. Because also this week was Virtual BlizzCon, and which is a thing that still happens, even though Blizzard is a shell of itself. And it was announced that the worst-kept secret in gaming, quote-unquote, Diablo 2 Resurrected is arriving this year. And I actually feel way better about this once I saw a lot of the quotes, because I don't know if anyone here played Warcraft 3 Reforged. That thing was the biggest pile of shit. Like, it was so bad. It was atrocious. And hearing that they were going to do Diablo 2, I was like, man, Diablo 2 is just going to get done dirty like Warcraft did. Like, this is going to suck and I'm going to hate it. But essentially, they just made it 4K and kept the same game, like, to the point where they're doing the thing where you can toggle to the old graphics. Like, the OG game is still running under it the whole time. They're basically just, like, putting a new skin over it as you play. And, you know, watching the trailer and seeing the some of the animations and lighting and textures and all that stuff that they're using. And apparently they've done shot for shot remakes on every cinematic. Bringing them up to modern standards in 4K. It's got all the expansions in it, which is what, Lord of Destruction, right? Where you fight Baal. I think that was Lord of Destruction, and it added some classes. It's been 20 years. Give me a break. I don't remember everything about Diablo 2. And they're adding some things to the PvP side of it, which I never really messed with back in the day anyway, but apparently it's coming out this year, and I'm pretty hyped for it. Like, I was kind of, like we've been talking about the last couple weeks, I'm ready for a Diablo game. Hades has kind of, like, reignited that love of that genre for me. And I would say that Diablo 2 is probably the best version of one of those games. Even though it's 20 years old, I still hold it in that regard. I'm a little scared that there's going to be some glass breaking as I play it and being like, oh no, this game isn't what I remember it being. Crap, my memories of this were so much better than the reality of it. But I still love Diablo 2, and I like the other big thing that with this with the resurrected version is it's going to have controller support on everything, including the PC, which is a big one. And cross-platform progression. And since it's coming out on PlayStation 5, Xbox, PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC, that's pretty damn cool. Like, if all of us could play together and then pick it up on another system, like, that's rad to me. So, yeah, your guys' thoughts. Diablo 2, back in action.
I also like that they already confirmed that there was, like, no microtransactions and stuff, which I was really happy about. I was like, dude, that's the worst, is when they try to cram, like, nickel and fucking dime you for everything like that.
They're like, we're trying to try in the auction house again. We got it this time, guys, honest.
But I'm excited for it.
Here's
Debbie Downer over here. Yeah. Why don't you tell us why we can't be excited for it, Shannon?
I'm not saying you can't be excited for it. I'm just saying that I'm not excited for it. Like, I want Diablo 4, and I'm not going to go back and play a game I've played, like, 30 times to, you know, satiate my need for a Diablo game. Give me
Hey Justin, Diablo can 4. You do me a favor, and can you cut that audio so we can replay it when Shannon buys this?
I will not buy it, sir.
Oh, you are lying? Lying. Like, I have known you for decades. You are buying this.
I'm not going to buy it, dude. I'm not going to buy it.
No, dude, he says that once you and me have it, he's going to want it.
Yeah. And if it's
good. Yeah, because you guys can sit down and play a game.
And it's good. Yeah.
Oh, dude. No. Like, you guys are going to have such a hard time trying to sit down and play this game together that, like, it's not going to impact me one way or the other. Like, if you guys play this once together, like, I'd be impressed.
That sounds like a challenge. I'm going to do it. I'm going to play it once just to spite you.
I'm just saying, Justin, mark the tape. We're going to go back once Shannon is joining us and playing.
Nope.
Yeah. So, yeah, to everyone listening on the pod, take note of this moment, because on the episode where it's going to be one of Shannon's what he played that week, at the very beginning of the podcast, I want that audio of Shannon saying he's never going to buy it slowed down by about 30%. He's like, I'm never going to buy this game. And that's how the podcast is going to start.
Yep.
Oh, man. Nope, not going to happen. I tell you right now. Won't.
Well, I'm hyped for it. I think it looks
I'm glad. It looks good. But why do I need to go revisit that game? I can barely, as you guys...
You want to know why? Because Torchlight 3 sucks.
Yeah, and, it does. And, Torchlight is garbage.
And like, Diablo 4 isn't coming out for 2 years. That's why. Like,
yeah, I'll just wait. I'll have plenty of other games that I cannot finish before that game comes out.
Yeah, and you'll buy this because you have that gaming PC just sitting there.
It's printing my 3D stuff.
Yeah, and it can render all of these amazing textures and 4K graphics and rendering and lighting effects and all of that, and so beautiful.
And then by the time Diablo 4 comes out, you'll know how the audio works on your Elgato.
Yeah, totally.
Fuck off. Damn, just chopping me at the knees tonight, guys. I swear to God.
Well, I'm sorry that you brought out a whole bunch of bullshit. Like, I don't believe
it's
you.
It's not bullshit. Like, I am not going to play that game. I can tell you right now, I am not going to play Diablo 2. Diablo 2. Not even like Diablo 3. Like Diablo 3 Remastered or something like that. Diablo 2. Like, great. Yeah, like, it's the Nintendo problem. I'm not going to buy that game.
Yeah, the game that's way better than Diablo 3. Diablo 2. Yeah, you're right. You won't play that one. Yeah.
I don't know. I thought Diablo 3 was pretty dope. I thought it was better than Diablo 2, but that's just me.
Yeah, it's because you haven't played Diablo 2 in 20 years. Like,
maybe it's because you haven't played Diablo 2 in 20 years, and you're going to go back to it, and it's going to be Suckville.
And that's highly possible. I'm not saying that that isn't in the multiverse of the future. That isn't one of the realities that can come through. I'm just saying the reality of... If I'm weighing the scales now of me not liking a remaster of Diablo 2 versus Shannon not purchasing a good remaster of Diablo 2, guess which one fucking weighs more? You buying Diablo 2. Like, come on.
Dude, my biggest takeaway from all this is now Diablo 2 is going to be on my game of the year list just to spite Shannon.
Yeah, totally. 100%.
I'm like, well, number five.
It's never going to make game of the year because I will not be voting for it.
We're gonna bring in ringers. I'm gonna make sure Jordan's playing with us. I'm gonna make sure Robbie's got a copy. I'll buy them copies just to piss you off. Like, we're gonna make Friday Night Diablo 2 a thing just to, like, you know, oh, Shannon, great if you could join us, but you never picked that one up. Anyway, back to our game. If I'm playing COD over there for the fourth year in a row, like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. It's going to be good times. Mm-hmm. All right. Shannon shutting down. We should move on.
I have nothing to add to the story. I'm just, you guys can.
You know what? I've got it. You're doing the passive-aggressive Catholic guilt thing. I understand. I was raised in those households. I know what you're doing. Anyway. okay. Well, let's go from the past to the future. And talk a little Diablo 4. Even though the game isn't coming until 2022, allegedly, probably going to be 23, but who knows? The new latest class was revealed, the Rogue class was revealed for Diablo 4. And as it stands, you know, it's going to be a lot of stabbing from the shadows, a bunch of bow and arrow kills, traps, things of that nature. And the trailer looks freaking rad. It just wormed the cockles of my heart that Blizzard still makes amazing cinematics. You know, like, I know Blizzard's been through a lot. They've changed a lot. That Rogue trailer is fucking rad. Like, it was really good. And I would just, you know, I say it every time they do this. Like when they release the Diablo 4 trailer where the guy gets, you know, spread out into a whole bunch of miasma and Lilith comes through him and all that. Like, I just want a movie. Just make a damn movie. Like, I want to see all, like, I just want like 90 minutes of this shit. Like, I want to play the game. Just give me all the good stuff. But yeah, it goes without saying though, like, all it did was make me really want to play Diablo 4. Like, everything, it's scaring me because everything I see about this game excites me about it. And I really don't want to be let down because Blizzard, that scares me now. Like, Blizzard used to just be 100%. You just grab Blizzard games. You know it's going to be good. Like, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be one of the best games you played that year. That shine has come off that a little bit in recent times. But the Diablo 4 looks so goddamn good, you guys. Like, it looks ridiculous.
Yeah, and like, that's why I don't want to play Diablo 2, is because, like, I go back and I see Diablo 4, and I'm like, that rogue gameplay footage of her abilities and her darting all over the place, launching that rain of arrows, and then rolling forward and having the rain, like, follow progressively in front of her was super dope. You know, having the imaginary, like, four or five people, you know, kind of spring out and shoot, like, just be able to clear out, like, a whole row of trash. Like, she definitely looks like she's going to be a versatile character to use, not only for kind of like stealth and, you know, attacking from the shadows, but like also like just being an upfront powerhouse. So I'm excited to see, you know, how she works with the other characters in those settings, because, you know, all you saw was her like solo. And there were a couple areas where, like, you know, you could see trash coming in from the side. And I was like, oh, she's just going to get overrun right here. This is not going to end well for her. And then they would just cut to, like, another, like, you know, ability that she was going to be using. I would like to see, you know, her with another character to see how they're planning on people, like, piggybacking off of their abilities. But I'm hyped on what I saw so far. Justin, what do you think?
Yeah, I was telling Shannon before the podcast, I really wish at the end of the trailer, when the dude opens the cabinet with all the ears, if the ears spelled out 2022 or whatever.
That'd be pretty good, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I mean, that game looks like it's so far done. Like, why don't you just put it out at the end of 2021? Just give it to us a little sooner.
But, you know, no, give it to me when it's done. Like, I don't want, like, I've been hurt before, Shannon, and her before. I need Diablo 4 to just be good when it comes out. I don't need the cyberpunk, we're releasing it and a year from now it's going to be rad thing. Like, no, just I need Diablo 4 to be good on release. You know, like, it's just one of those things. Like, I can't take it coming out and being ass. It would crush me. You
know? I get it.
Man, it looks awesome. That being said, I want to go in early access and release a beta for like $30 or something. I will sign up for that like right now. I'm just take my money. But yeah, I want me some Diablo 4. That game continues to look awesome. You know what else looks awesome? And while we're on the subject of awesomeness and things therein, y'all see that new Mortal Kombat trailer?
Mortal Kombat? So, it's, what's funny is I've watched the trailer probably about four times now, and I honestly don't really give a shit about Mortal Kombat, but this looks fucking cool.
So, like, dope!
And the fact that it's coming out on HBO Max, and it's coming out in April, so I'm like, bro, I get this in April, and then in May, you're telling me I get Godzilla? Like, I am incredibly stoked for it.
Yeah, I'm so down. There are so many great moments in that trailer. You know, it begins with a bang when Jax loses his arm because Sub-Zero freezes his arms, then breaks them off. And you're like, oh shit, we're in. We're like, okay, let's go. You know, and it does not let up for the rest.
Dude, and that's what was funny is, like, after watching it multiple times, it's like there's so many cool moments, like, with, like, Sub-Zero stuff, like the freeze making the blood knife and then, like, kicking through, like, the ice wall. Like, like, there's so many moments where the CG looks amazing, and then there's others with, like, the laser eye and shit, where I'm like, dude, you can tell where the budget went. Like, they're like, we're going to make Sub-Zero and Scorpion look amazing, and then now we have $40 left to spread across everybody else.
Kano's laser eye, that looked like an unfinished effect. Yeah. You know, that was one of those, like, okay, I hope they don't do that often, because, whew. But, yeah, when you see pre-ninja Scorpion, when he first, like, wraps the knife around with the rope and just starts fucking going through people's skulls with that rope, like, swinging it around. Yes, I'm in. Just take the money. Like, I'm good. Oh, my God. I was so hyped for that. Like, I could not. And you glossed over it. But the moment in the trailer when Sub-Zero cuts a dude enough to spray a huge spray of blood out of his chest, which then he freezes and stabs that motherfucker with his blood. Like, yes, yes, I'm in. Just, God damn it. That was so awesome. Like, oh, I hype levels through the roof for that one. I'm in.
Yeah, I like that. It looks like they're not really, like, the story is just kind of like, okay, yeah, these people have weird moles on their chest that kind of look like dragons, and they're all going to meet for this giant. I'm like, cool, I don't need a fucking story. I'm like, they're going to meet, and they're going to fight. That's all I need.
Totally. My favorite moment of the whole trailer, blood knife aside, is when they're like, oh, it's a birthmark. They're like, a birthmark? And she's like, yeah, he was born with it. Yeah, I know what a birthmark is. Thank you. Like, oh my God. It was so funny.
Yeah, I'll say the only thing that I didn't like was the mask. Sub-Zero's mask looks a little janky. You know, both Scorpion's and Sub-Zero's masks are a little weird. But it was, the graphics are definitely way updated, and I'm super happy that Goro doesn't look like a freaking Muppet on steroids. You know, CGI has done wonders for Goro.
I kind of miss Rubber Goro. I miss it, but I know that's just like 11-year-old Zach talking, so I'll let it go, but part of me kind of misses Rubber Goro, like, just saying.
But you know, when this movie comes out, if they don't have that original Mortal Kombat, like, song in there, like, they're not doing themselves any favors.
It's gonna be like in the end credits, it's gonna be like Mortal Kombat, it's like doo 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 doo.
But I mean, I do like the fact that like Robbie brought it up in the Discord chat that, like, all the actors that are playing actual Mortal Kombat characters are trained martial artists, so you're going to start seeing probably some pretty good, like, fight choreography, as opposed to, like, you know, the actors that were trying to do that in the original movie. But yeah, it looks exciting. I want to say this is going to have a rated R. Like, is this going
to
be rated R?
It has to. It has to. Dude, like, I mean,
well, the trailer was a Red Band trailer, and literally in the first 3 seconds, his arms explode off, like, yes.
But there was no blood. I mean, it was just ice, right? I mean, like, Nintendo got around, the same thing with, like, the purple blood.
you see a knife get thrown through someone's skull and pop out the other side. Like,
My Bloody Valentine 3D shit.
Yeah, totally.
Shit, you see that stuff in PG-13 movies all the time.
Happy Death Day to Me, Part 3, you know. But yeah, it's funny, you going back to what you were saying earlier, Shannon. I think that by having them go to, you know, real martial artists staging actual good fights with real good choreography, I think it's very similar to how the Godzilla team kind of figured out what people want out of kaiju movies. It's like, no, get real cool looking monsters and have the fights actually be cool. The rest of the movie can suck, but do the cool monster thing. And I think that I'm hoping that they figured out that part with the game movies as well. It's like, no, do the thing people like from the game really well, and the rest of it can be cheesy and no one's going to care. So we will see. I hope. Anything else on that, Justin, before we move on?
No, I mean, I think we pretty much covered it. I'm super excited for it, and I will definitely, the weekend it comes out, man, I'm going to have kettle corn ready.
Yeah.
Pop that bad boy on.
I've already been talking with Robbie. You know, Steve is going to join us for the Kong Godzilla spoiler cast, and we are going to be doing the Mortal Kombat spoiler cast immediately after when that movie drops. So I'm hyped to dissect that movie because it should be rad. All right, so I guess we should move into a little weekly consultation. Guess what, guys? I got a PS5 this week. It was rad.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Yeah, and like, talk about FOMO. Like, over here, I got a major case of FOMO with all your posts.
It had been a long time since I'd gotten a new console.
Mm-hmm.
Like, got probably 4 years, I would say. The Switch was the last new one I got, and that was 2017, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the Switch, it's different. There's something about, like, the big home console when you take it out of the box. And, you know, it's got that, like, that from the factory smell to it. You know, yeah. There's, like, it's just something awesome about that. And you're taking all the plastic off and you're unwrapping everything. And
emphasis on the word big.
And goddamn, the PlayStation 5 is huge, you guys. Like, I know you can look up the dimensions. Oh, it's like 11 inches deep and 16 inches tall and blah, blah, blah. When you're actually holding it, it's like, son of a bitch. This thing is massive. But I have it, I've got it set up in my bedroom because I'm actually going to, like, do a construction project in my living room. Not to fit it per se, but to change the orientation of how the electronics are in my living room. So in the meantime, I am playing it in my bedroom, and I played a couple games. So thankfully, it has Astrobot already loaded on it. And I will tell you right now, if that game was $70, I would have paid $70 for Astrobot. Like, Astrobot was fucking phenomenal. It's a wonderful platformer. The platformer, platforming, I like. It's up there with, like, Mario level platforming as far as top tier 3D platformers. It is a unabashed love letter to Sony and the previous console generations that they've had. Finding things that I used to own was really funny, like a Pocket Station and the PS1 with the LCD screen and all that type of stuff as you're going through the levels. I think the level design on it was awesome. I know it's a showpiece for what the controller can do, but if they made a sequel to it, I would buy it immediately. Like, Astrobot was so fun to play. And that music slaps! Every song on every level is so good. I don't understand how they did it, but, like, I'm going to find that soundtrack just so I can hear the CPU song over and over again, because it's rad. Rad as hell. Justin, have you played Astrobot?
No, I need
to. Oh, my God, you need to. It's so good.
I know. After I saw you posting in the Discord about it and stuff, I was like, man, I need to sit down and play some Astrobot.
And it's short, like 4 or 5 hours. You can get through the whole thing. And, like, I'm sure you can platinum it with not much more time than that. But it's fun as hell, man. It's really good. Then my brother-in-law got me Miles Morales for my birthday. And so I put that in yesterday and was like, oh, I'm going to install this and fire it up and see how it plays and how it looks, because everyone's told me so many good things about it. And it was totally one of those experiences where, like, oh, I'm going to fire this up. And then next thing I know, it's like the whole house is dark. Everyone's asleep. And I'm like, what time is it? Like, why? What is going on here? Like, I've played for about 4 or 5 straight hours. I had forgotten how much I really enjoy that Spider-Man game, the first one. And this is obviously more of that. They've added a bunch more fighting mechanics, which it is very enjoyable. Like, the Venom Sting powers and all that stuff is pretty fun. I can now turn invisible, which is rad. It's more of that same, but goddamn, it's great. Like, it's just so good. And it's funny because I already felt myself going like, oh yeah, I'm gonna 100% this one, like I did the first Spider-Man. Because it's one of those, like, you're finding all the little caches and all the little things and grabbing the, you know, oh, look at these three things on the map. They're right by me. I might as well go do them since I'm here, and all that type of stuff. And swinging around the city with no load times is awesome. Like, it's just great, you know, and like, it cracks me up that they still have the subway in there for fast travel. But like, I never use it because it's just, you can just swing and it's fine. Like, it only takes max 10 minutes, you know, and that's stopping to fight people along the way to get from point A to point B. It's like the swinging in the game is fun. Doing the little trick system they have while you swing is fun. Like, doing all that stuff is just a great time. And yeah, I'm loving the hell out of it. I fired up God of War to see the update. It looks stunning. I was going to start playing it, but then Miles Morales showed up. So I started playing Miles Morales way more. And yeah, that's PS5, man. The future is now. I'm in. I got to download that Resident Evil demo now. So, but yes, loving it. So, Shannon, what you play?
Well, being as I'm the only one on the show that doesn't have a PlayStation 5 now. I've been playing on the Switch.
Well, Justin doesn't have one, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, Megan has one.
Yeah, I have to go into her special gaming room if I want to play her PlayStation.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm not. I beat Bowser's Fury. The new expansion for the Mario 3D World or add-on, whatever you want to call it. And that was fun. Getting the last three bells to fight Bowser the last time got pretty intense and kind of frustrating, just because once you get to that spot, the bells don't work to repel Bowser, so he's just ever present. And just if you save some of the harder spots to get bells for the end, that could be like a game changer on whether you enjoy this game or not. So that was cool. Then I started playing the whole Mario 3D World, and I'm on World 5 right now. And the one thing that I find frustrating is the camera doesn't really it's actually more of a hindrance in some of the situations. you know, it doesn't let you kind of do like a 360 kind of like pan around. That, you know, you kind of get to move left once, or you get to move right once from like center of camera to kind of give you like a clearer view. But I was, you know, I kind of find that to be not always beneficial. And sometimes the camera just gets all wonky. So I'm fighting that. And then in Bowser's Fury, you have the ability to kind of stockpile multiple power-ups. So like, you can have a stockpile of like bells for the cat, and like, you know, leaves for the raccoon and the boomerang. You can just kind of stack everything up, like mushrooms. You can keep them all in your pocket. In the game Mario 3D World, you can pretty much only have one power-up in your reserve at a time. So that took some adjusting and getting used to. I find it to be good. But it's not blowing my socks off. I'll beat it, but I'm not going to. I don't think it's going to be on any of my games, the game of the year lists. Let's just put it that way. But that's just me. That's my opinion. That's all I've been playing. Justin, how about you? What are you playing?
So after the podcast last week, I also picked up Mario 3D World.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did. I kind of did the opposite of you, though. Instead of starting with Bowser's Fury, I started with just the base game. Which, so I was one of the 11 people who owned a Wii U, but out of the 12...
And Mike Miller, out of too, the 12,
yeah, out of the 12 games that I owned, though, Mario 3D World was not one of them. And I think the main reason I didn't buy it was because I kind of just assumed it was kind of the same as New Super Mario Brothers, which I had New Super Mario Brothers on the Wii and played NBA. I had New Super Mario Brothers on the Wii U, so I just kind of figured it was like more of the same. So I never really picked it up when it came out, even though I heard it was really good. So, but it is, although it is similar in a lot of aspects, like level design wise and stuff, it's also very different. And after I'm on, like, I think world like 5, I think now.
You've gotten way past me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I spent a good part of last weekend, and then I think like one night this week or whatever, I played it for like a couple hours and stuff, and I have like 50 lives now and stuff, because I'm pretty good after playing so much Super Mario Bros. 3. I'm pretty good at the slot game of getting it. Usually I can get at least 3 1-ups, but I've gotten the 777 like 2 or 3 times. But level, like, I've had a lot of fun with it. Like the storing items, like Shannon was saying, like, he's thrown off or whatever, the fact that you can even store a item, I think, is pretty cool, since you can't really do that in very many other Mario games and stuff, which is handy, especially with the cat suit, since the cat suit's like the best power up in the game. Like, you can instantly get a to the top of the flagpole, and like a lot of the like, there's certain levels where it's like you need it to get the green star and stuff, which I'm a completionist, so I've been getting all the green stars, and I brought this up to Zach and he hated me for it, where
I still hate you for it.
Because I didn't realize, but it's like on the map, if you don't get the top of the flagpole, the flag is just like a normal color, whereas when you get on top of it, you get this gold flag in the overworld. And I couldn't figure out why, like, a couple of mine were just, like, normal red Mario flags, and then a couple were gold. And when I looked it up and realized that it was because I didn't get the top of the flag, I was like, God damn it. So I literally had to just blaze through the level again with, like, a cat suit just to guarantee that I could get the top of the flag. And I was like, man, because it was just annoying the shit out of me that, like, it wasn't all consistent on the world map.
And I hate that I never even noticed. And then just two words from Justin, yellow flags. And I looked at, I remember bringing up the screen and I'm just like, oh no. Oh no. Oh God. And yeah. All of a sudden it was just like, I can't have red flags up there. Like, it just.
Dude, and there was like red flags.
Yeah, dude. And I'll be honest. There was like a couple levels where it's like, I literally went through it. Like, there was one level I think I had to go through 3 times to get the gold flag, because it's like, I didn't do it the first time. The second time, I, like, just ran through real quick and, like, just barely, like, missed it and got, like, right under it. And I was like, damn it. And I was like, oh, we'll try again. And
then let me tell you, world, I want to say it's like either 3-2 or 3-4 can get both cheeks right now. Like, that world, fuck, I was so angry at it. And
posted
then,
about it in Discord. Which one was it, dude? It messed me up so hard.
Yeah, I finally got through it and then didn't get the yellow. It was one of those, like, I literally just sat the pro controller down and walked away.
Yeah,
my daughter's like, aren't you going to keep playing? I'm like, not right now. No, I'm not.
Yeah, there were some levels where I was like, straight up, well, I'm never doing that one again. I'm glad, you know, like, I don't care if I got the bottom of the flagpole or not. Like, I just, I'm not doing it ever. It can stay whatever color it is. But
I'll tell you, that's the right attitude. You have it correct. Like, I'm the sick one. Like,
yeah.
Now, who are you guys playing? Are you playing like as OG Mario, or do you guys play like as Toad or Princess or Luigi? Do you guys have a preference?
I'm trying to go through the game as Mario first, but yeah. I honestly haven't tried anyone else yet. So
I looked up, and yeah, that level was 3-2, which
I'm sure it was 3-2 then. Yeah. Yep,
kicked my ass. I've played through Mario so far for the entire thing, except for, there was one level where I tried Peach because there was that second green star where it's that one where it's like you're constantly moving, where it's like you're sliding around and doing whatever.
Yeah.
And there's that green star where it's like, I thought, because like as Mario, you try to like hit you're like running and you hit the ramp and like you obviously can't reach it. And I was like, well, maybe with Peach's hover ability, if I hit it at like peak speed and then use her hovers, and I can just hover over. And then I still couldn't get it. And then I like watched a YouTube video and they're like, yeah, to get this one, you literally need the cat suit. And I was like, God damn it. And then to find out at the very beginning of the level, if you climb up that tree, you'll get the bell for a cat suit. And I was like, dude, really? Like, I could have had a cat suit the entire time for this level. But I've been really enjoying it so far, though. It's been a lot of fun. And I also played a little bit more Quomp, which has been fun. I know I talked about it a podcast or two ago and stuff, where you're the little Pong ball. But Shannon will be interested. So the third game that I played, which I wanted to break from Mario, and Bandai was having I think they still are having a sale. So like a lot of the Dragon Ball Z games and whatever are on sale right now. But they had Digimon Cyber Sleuth on sale for like $20. And I haven't played a Digimon game since the PS1 when Digimon World first came out. And I remember loving it as a kid. But I literally have not played a Digimon game since that. And I remember this game getting brought to my attention back when Pokemon Sword and Shield came out, because a lot of people were pissed off at Game Freak for cutting the Pokedex and stuff. And they're like, dude, why can't they have all 784 Pokemon in the game? I know that game got brought up as like a, well, if you're mad at Game Freak and don't want to play Pokemon, play this Digimon game instead. And I never picked it up, so I was like,
okay. And then you, like everyone else, was like, hey, let's not be crazy. No, I'm not playing Digimon. I'm just, could I get more Pokemon? Like, come on, let's not be stupid here.
Dude, okay, so I love Digimon, for starters.
I'll tell you right now, I always prefer Digimon over Pokemon.
Did you also prefer GoBots to Transformers?
No.
Power Rangers to Voltron? Like, were you always off with the knockoff? Like,
well, and see, I'm not going to even say, like, I love Digimon. Like, I was hardcore Pokemon until about fourth grade, and then that's, like, when Digimon hit. So then, mm-hmm. like, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, I was, like, Digimon. And then, of course, sixth grade is, like, Dragon Ball Z and stuff. But no, so for this, it's interesting because it is kind of like Pokemon Sword and Shield. Like, you play as a character, and you're running around, and it kind of reminds me of like Mega Man Battle Network or like Yu-Gi-Oh! V Reigns and stuff too, where you're essentially this dude, and you're like in this chat room talking with people, and they're talking about how there's these things called like Digimon that are basically viruses that like hackers use to like get like whatever, and you basically go to like the dark web with these people from this chat room, and this dude or whatever basically gives you a Digimon and like loads the Digimon app or whatever on the like your phone thing, which is like the Digivice sort of thing. And what's interesting about this or whatever is like you can have in your main party you can have up to 3 Digimon, and then you have like a backseat party or whatever of up to 6 Digimon, and you have like points or whatever, and like the stronger the Digimon is, like the more points it costs, so you can only have like so many points or whatever assigned, like whatever in your slot. So it's like, yeah, you could have like 12 Digimon, whatever, but they're all going to be weak as fuck. Or you can have like 4 Digimon and they're going to be like really strong. And so you can kind of determine like what you want. And by encountering, it kind of does some like Pokemon, like Let's Go Pikachu sort of stuff too, where it's like when you encounter Digimon in the wild, you like get a percent for like the encounter rate, like when you see them. And once it hits 100%, you can go to this like area and you can basically digitize that Digimon that you run in and get a copy of it, and it hatches from an egg. And then like when it levels up, like each Digimon too, when it digivolves, instead of like in the actual show where it's like, okay, like Agumon turns into Greymon, and then Greymon into Metal Greymon, like there's just like it can only digivolve into like one specific thing each time. With this one, there's almost branching paths where it's like you have, okay, well, you can digivolve into Greymon, but there's also 6 other, like, champion-level Digimon that you could potentially digivolve into, too, but you have to meet certain stat requirements. So it's like, okay, well, if your strength is this, and you're this level, and you have this, then you can do this, which makes getting duplicates of certain Digimon worth it, because then it's like, okay, well, then I can pick this path for this one instead, so I can collect them all. And you can also like de-digivolve Digimon 2 into like earlier forms to get certain ones that you didn't have and stuff. And then if you get too many duplicates, you can basically do the Pokemon Go thing where you just turn them into candy or whatever to help level up your other Digimon.
You have my attention, sir.
Yeah, I figured I would. Like, it's been pretty fun. Like, and it does the same thing that that monster tamer thing too, that game that we've been playing. It does the same kind of thing where it's like each battle, your health and like your like MP or like whatever replenishes each time. So it's like you don't need to go to a Pokemon Center. You don't need to, like, as long as if it dies, then you have to go to the special area and like revive it. But as long as it doesn't fully die, if it just gets like injured, it'll like fully heal after the battle.
Nice.
And there's like some cool like combo team dynamics and stuff. And like the way the queue works and stuff for battling, it's turn taking. But on the right side, it kind of works like Child Light or whatever, where there's like a turn queue and you can see like it's going to be this, this, and this. So you can pick off certain Digimon that you're fighting. Like you'll like, okay, well, if I pick him off first, then that'll disappear from the queue. And then my other guy can go again. So I'll get like multiple turns in a row and I'm basically like untouchable, which is like pretty cool if you can plan it out that way and stuff. So there's like some pretty decent like battle strategy and stuff into it too. And there's like the whole triangle system of like powers and stuff like that, like it plays. So you get damage stats like up and stuff for the effectiveness and stuff of certain moves and specials and stuff.
I think I might have to put this in my queue.
Yeah, the only downside I've had so far is that the cutscenes are not skippable.
Ooh.
And they're very like wordy or whatever, so you're just kind of like mashing through like, yes, I know, go talk to people in this building, like I don't care really about the like story that much. I'm like, I just want to go fight shit and run around and catch Digimon. But besides that, like, I've had no complaints about it.
So do they, like, are those cutscenes, like, or those scenes, are they pretty frequent? Like, I mean, is it like you have to sit through, like, a 5-minute cutscene to go, like, walk 10 steps and collect a Digimon, and then you're back into, like, another 5-minute, like, cutscene again?
No, I mean, it's not, and most of the time, it's not, like, super long. I mean, it was also, a lot of it was just because, you know, it's like the beginning of the game and stuff. So it was like, because a lot of the premise is basically like you and your friends, you went to the dark net. And then what ends up happening is like you get in this like fight with this Digimon virus thing and then you try to leave. And like your body gets like trapped between the digital realm and the physical realm. So then you basically gain the ability to like travel like through TV and stuff like into like the internet and do like whatever and stuff, and your physical body's actually like in a coma somewhere in a hospital and you're just like the digital manifestation of yourself, but you manage to get back out and it's like this whole fucking thing. But it's like at the beginning of the game they, you know, talk a lot about that to you and you're just kind of like, yes, I know, I'm in a coma, sure. And a lot of it's more just like they have like actual kind of anime cutscenes in it and stuff, which are pretty cool. But then there's also a lot of like the actual just in-game like text box. Like you're like, yes, I'm talking to this person. I don't care. Just give me my objective. And then just I want to be on my way.
Just mash the A button to get through it.
And just like, And that's the thing is like mashing it doesn't like really make it go like very faster. I'm just like, come on, man. Yes, I know. But it's been a good time so far.
Good. Good. And is it, you said it's still on sale?
Yeah, it should be like $20. And because it's actually two games in one. It's Digimon Cyber Sleuth, and then there's like a, I forget what the other game, it's part of the same, it's almost like an additional game, but it's like an additional story that's from like a different perspective of somebody like else in the game. So it's like, you're technically supposed to play the, like, Digimon Cyber Sleuth first, and then you play the other one basically once you've played that one to then get like the other perspective of the game, because I had to make sure, because I was like, which one of these two games should I like play first, because I don't want to play them like out of order. And they were like, well, this one will probably make more sense if you play this one first. And I'm like, all right.
Cool. Well, I guess it's time to wake Zach back up so that we can...
Huh? What?
All right. Well, I guess we've gone through what we've been playing.
I was just daydreaming about how when Tommy was the Green Ranger, he like washed up the entire Power Rangers team by himself and how that kicked ass. And then once he became the White Ranger, it just sucked.
Dude, it makes me so sad, too, that at the end of that Power Ranger, like, movie reboot thing that they did not that long ago, that they, like, set up Tommy, but then it bombed so hard at the box office that we're never going to get, like, a sequel movie to that.
I trust you, because Lord knows I never saw it, so.
Yeah, it wasn't great, but it honestly wasn't the worst either.
I mean, it was, like, free on Netflix for, like, a bit. Like, you could watch it on Netflix pretty easily.
Yeah, my time isn't free, Shane. So.
Well, apparently, if you're going to play Diablo 2 for the 40th time, it is.
Oh, man.
That's
if you've listened to this point, thanks for listening, guys. And we're going to go into episode 7 spoilers for WandaVision. So if you're
Real quick. I wanted to say so my kids, kind of out of nowhere, have gotten super back into Pokemon. And on Netflix, they have a Netflix only series called Pokemon Journeys that is like shockingly really good. Hmm. I mean, I watched Sun and Moon because when my kid was like 3, he was super into Pokemon. So we would watch that cartoon then. It was fine. Like, it was a lot of dumb things, but it was fine. Pokemon Journeys on Netflix is like pretty decent. So if you like Pokemon and don't, you know, I've been looking for a show that you could watch and enjoy as an adult, like, I recommend Pokemon Journeys.
Does it follow Ash Ketchum still, or
is it does, and somehow he's still 10, but it's Ash and his new friend Go, and Go is trying to catch one of every Pokemon, and Ash is still trying to be the best. He's trying to get up the rankings so he can battle the guy from Pokemon Sword, was it Leon? Mm-hmm. The main guy from Pokemon Sword. So he's trying to get to where he could battle Leon in the world rankings. It's funny because it's the first one I've seen where people in the world know who Ash Ketchum is. Because it's like one of those things that's always bugged me where it's like, okay, this dude has done so much legendary shit in like at age 10. And no one knows who the hell he is. And when he shows up at a gym at one episode in this thing, and the girl at the gym is just like, oh my God, you're Ash from Pallet Town? Like, seriously? Like, you're here? You know, and it was like the first time someone was like, oh, wait. Like, and it's funny because even he's like, yeah. They're like, oh, when you did this and this and this and this. And he was like, well, yeah, but okay. Like he was like, not okay with people knowing who he was. Like, it was actually played pretty funny, but it was one of those things that's always bugged me in those cartoons, and to have it just like be recognized for once was pretty funny.
And you should look up some of the Pokemon battles from it, because they are epic compared to like the original anime and stuff, like the different angle, like the animation for the fighting and stuff is on point.
Yeah. We're working through it. We're almost through the end of season 2 now. But it's really fun, and I love how they were just like, F it, we're stacking Ash's team. Like, guess what? You have a Dragonite. Guess what next? You get a Gengar. Sure, Lucario, no problem. Load him up. And it was just, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, he's fucking Ash Ketchum. Like, he doesn't roll out Krabbies anymore. You know, like, what do you do?
His like, days of 100 Tauruses are over.
Yeah, totally. And it's just like, Go, you can go catch some fucking Pidgeys. Like, Ash is over here with Dragonites. You know, like, well, this is what we're doing now. And it's a lot of fun. So it's good. I recommend it if you're looking to get some Pokemon action, because I didn't even know it existed until my son found it like 2 weeks ago. So we've burned through basically 2 seasons in 2 weeks. So
wow, that's a heavy clip.
2 episodes a night is what we're doing. So
nice. Before we get into WandaVision spoilers, I watched some movies over the past like 2 weeks, I don't know what it is about, like, you know, I know COVID did some things to the movie industry, like, that, you know, they ruined basically all of the releases, but like I'm looking at some of these movies, like looking at the rosters of like some of the actors that are in these movies, like in The Dead Don't Die. I mean, like, it's a Bill Murray movie, and they got the dude from Star Wars, the one that plays Kylo Ren, whatever his name is. But like
Adam Driver.
Yeah. But in like in The Dead Don't Die, there's like 20 stars. Right. So that's usually like an indicator that probably some of them are going to die. Like they're going to have like little one liners. They're going to be in there for a second and then it's going to be pretty funny. That movie didn't make me laugh once. Not once. Like I didn't find a single thing in that movie hilarious or funny. I thought it was going to be like a Shaun of the Dead where like it was going to start out slow and pick up. Like by the time the movie was over, nothing beneficial happened whatsoever that, you know, made any type of momentum. The movie just kind of struggles along at the same pace. You're expecting it to pick up, never does. So I was like, yeah, whatever. Then they've been advertising this movie called The Little Things on like on all over the place. It's on HBO Max right now. It's got Denzel Washington. It's got Jared Leto. It's got Rami Malek in it.
Oh, yeah. That one looks kind of seven-ish, right?
Yeah. Or... yeah. It, that movie fucking sucks. Like, it drags. It goes nowhere. I have no idea what the hell is happening. Like, the ending is convoluted. Like, there's no payoff. You don't feel... I mean, like, the movie just ends. Like, it's, you're just like, what the fuck? Like, all right, like, whatever. Like, I get it. Like, you know, it's kind of open to interpretation. There's some things here that, like, you know, are left out in the wind. But, like, ultimately, it's the movie just, the pacing was not good. The acting was great, but it just didn't, it doesn't get you involved in the story. Like, I found myself looking at my watch, like, three or four times to see how far in this movie I was. And then, you know, I had picked two shitty movies. So I let my girlfriend pick one and she was like, oh, well, I've heard The Map of Tiny Perfect Things on Amazon is supposed to be like a person living in Groundhog Day, but instead of wanting to get out, he's perfectly content to be in there. And it's a story of like, you know, his day to day life. And he meets somebody else who's also stuck in this Groundhog Day scenario. And they kind of have to figure out like what's going on and try to work, resolve this problem that they have. That movie doesn't do a damn lick of anything either. I mean, it starts out pretty good. Like, you know, you kind of get into like the habits of what the characters are doing and like their everyday like routine and how like they're kind of you know, getting ahead of everybody's like schedule, so they become like this important figure in everybody's like day-to-day life. You know, they try to manipulate things to benefit themselves in certain ways, shapes or forms. But ultimately, the reveal in the movie doesn't hit the way that I think people want it to. And it just kind of leaves you kind of wanting more of a better resolution, I think. So, yeah, I don't know what it is about the movie industry right now. Maybe they're just releasing all of their B-roll stuff that they're just kind of hoping will make a little bit of money for them to kind of keep them going until... you know, they can get the big budget movies out when, like, maybe COVID is over and theaters open up again. But, man, like, I've probably wasted, like, 6 hours of my life just watching horrible movies right now. Yeah, I'm glad WandaVision is still a thing because it's a good palate cleanser. So let's go into it.
All right. Well, per Justin's earlier spoiler warning, I will reiterate we are going to go into WandaVision Episode 7 hard at this point. So if that's not for you, then thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week. But here we are, gentlemen. WandaVision, Episode 7. We're coming into the home stretch. Things are beginning to get answered. Questions are clearing up. Superheroes are getting made. What were your thoughts?
I was pretty impressed. I like the fact that, like, things are starting to close. I like that Vision has a ally now inside the Hex that is kind of giving him outside information, kind of filling him in on, you know, the details that he was missing, to kind of give him a clearer picture of who he is and what his role is. I do like you kind of see other people's superheroes originating and manifesting, like the, what's her name?
Monica Rambeau.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of cool to see her start to get a backbone and become more of a force in the Hex instead of just like a tertiary character, supporting character. And then, you know, kind of seeing the Scarlet Witch lose control of the Hex, and what's going on, seeing somebody who is in control lose control is in the early 2000s Modern Family-esque type fourth wall, like breaking the fourth wall.
Totally.
Was a good way to kind of meld her losing grip on the Hex. And then, of course, Agatha Harkness, like, you know, her reveal at the end was a good capper to the end of the show. I will be a little disappointed if she's the only baddie in it. I hope she's not. But, you know, for right now, I'm eating it up with a spoon. Just give it to me all right now. How about you, Zach? Like, you're a big comic book guy. Like, what do you feel?
I really like where they're at right now. My feeling is, it's interesting, because I initially had that same thought of like, oh, Wanda's losing her grip on this all. But then by the end of the episode with the Agatha Harkness reveal, I was like, you know, I don't know if Wanda ever had a grip on this. Like, this might not be the Scarlet Witch's doing in reality. You know, the footage of her taking Vision's body is muddy at best. And my theory now is like, this might all be Mephisto and Agatha Harkness doing this, and Scarlet Witch is as much of a pawn as everyone else in this town. Because in the comics, Agatha Harkness doesn't really roll solo, like, ever. And in reality, she's been a mentor to Wanda in the comics, like, almost the entire time, unless she's rolling deep for her own. And that's kind of the thing. She's a selfish character. She's not, like, technically good or bad. She's just always in it for her. And, you know, if that happens to be a good thing, great. If it doesn't, well, okay. You know, like, but it works for Agatha, so she's moving on. And can we just shout out the It Was Agatha All Along theme song, which was really great. I loved the Agatha All Along theme song. It was super clutch. But no, I think just having the Senor Scratchy being brought back in this episode, the Stork making a reappearance in the episode, the fly on the curtain, all the animal stuff really brings back the I think Mephisto is involved here stuff. And it looks like the book... It looks different than when it was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but my guess is that's the Darkhold that was in the basement. And that is like the big, it's like essentially the Marvel Necronomicon. Like, it can do all the like crazy, super twisted evil shit. You know, it's got all those spells in it. And it wouldn't shock me at all if there was something in that book that could do some, essentially the equivalent of the Hex, you know? So, I'm super down to see where this goes. I like that Rambo is essentially Photon at this point. Like, they showed her seeing energy signals from the power lines and all that stuff. And that, you know, she basically can turn herself into light energy in the comics and things like that. Hence the name Photon. But I'm interested to see where it goes. I'm hoping, kind of like you, I'm hoping they don't have Agatha being the big bad in this series, because A, it wouldn't make a lot of sense with how the comics version of her works, because she's just not that powerful. And B, I want to see Photon wreck some shop here, because I think she's fully in play as the wild card at this point. So... and also, we still never saw the astrophysicist that she was supposed to meet. This you know, Air Force person shows up, and I'm like, who the hell are you? Like, what? Where's Reed Richards? Where's Victor Doom? Who the F is this? So, well, we'll see. I'm hoping that person still makes an appearance. You know, Hank McCoy it's the Beast, you know, something, give me something.
That was good. That was going to be my question to you is, were you disappointed when they rolled up and it was just like this random engineer and this like tank looking thing comes out of the back of a U-Haul?
So disappointed. I was like, oh, that's all you got for me. But yeah, Justin, what do you think of my new theories?
I mean, I pretty much agree with that. Like, I'm 100% sure that Agatha is not the main villain. My kind of guess is that I think you're right. I think like Mephisto or something's involved. And I'm pretty sure I want to say if it's kind of on track with kind of how it's been, I'm assuming next week's episode is going to kind of be more show Agatha's perspective of kind of the beginning of everything and how like the creation of the Hex. And then the ninth and final episode is going to be Vision and everybody meeting at Agatha's, like, the big, like, finale. Mm-hmm. I'm still pretty sure her husband is probably the main villain that she keeps referring to, it, which I'm assuming will end up being Mephisto.
Ralph or whatever?
Yeah. Ralph.
I mean, I could see it being Mephisto or, like, Nightmare. Yeah, isn't Nightmare supposed to be in Doctor Strange?
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's kind of been, like, the two big ones, like, circulating around the internet as, like, the main villain behind it all. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where I did enjoy, like, the Modern Family Office aesthetic. I like the whole Office intro, and it's, like, WandaVision by Wanda.
Yeah.
That was, like, cute. And then, yeah, the Agatha all along with, like, the Munsters, like, text and stuff was, like, very catchy. The fact that she killed the dog, I'm like, the bitch.
And I love the, like, the total, you know, Wizard of Oz, like, and I killed your little dog, too.
Yeah. But yeah, there was some. I like the fact there's the post-credit scene where we get to see, like, a lot of people are saying they think, like, Quicksilver or something is, like, bad. Like, because it showed that she's basically the one that brought Quicksilver, like, in. But I don't think he's bad. Like, I honestly don't think he has any idea what the fuck's going on. Like, I think she just pulled him in from somewhere and he's just been rolling with it. Like, I don't think he's, like, under her spell by any means, or he's kind of just been doing his own thing or whatever and just playing along with whatever the hell's happening in the town. So I don't think he's particularly bad. But I do like the fact that, yeah, now Vision has, like, at least a better semblance of kind of what's going on outside the Hex now, too, from talking
to
the chick from Thor and stuff. But I thought it was a good episode. It's one of those things where it's, like, because of it being revealed that it's, like, okay, yeah, she is Agatha. It's, like, we kind of all suspected it, so it wasn't, like, it didn't hit as hard for me as other episodes did with, like, a big twist, because it's kind of, like, they're just reaffirming something that everybody's kind of already thought since, like, the beginning. But it's still nice that it's been confirmed, and I'm just, like, man, dude, I really want the next two episodes, like, I want them now. I want to know what's going to happen.
But no, I agree with you. Like, we've all basically thought Agnes was Agatha Harkness since, like, episode 3, you know? So it's like, it wasn't that. It was like, oh, finally. We can finally just can cross that off the list and move on. But yeah, I'm right there with you. I wish it was just two episodes next week. Like, let's just knock this out. Like, it's killing me. The slow drop is killing me.
And that's my thing, is I also think, like, I'm pretty sure Agatha and Wanda created the Hex together. Like, Wanda makes, like, she want, like, through this episode too, you kind of see, like, she thinks of herself as the villain. Like, she kind of just blames herself for everything. And, like, now that she's kind of, like, losing control and stuff, like, I feel like she's at fault to some point, but not to, like, any major level. It's like things did get out of hand and stuff, but I think it was, like, never her intention for anything to go, like, as far as it has.
So my question is, how do you think so it seems to me like, I mean, Vision is starting to get, like, a pretty significant, like, pull as far as being alive again in the Marvel universe. Do you think he's going to come back as this form of Vision, or do you think he's going to be reincarnated as, like, the White Vision? What do you see for Vision in this world? Do you think they're going to keep him dead, or do you think he's going to come back?
I mean, I think he's gonna. If I had to get, I would. My thought is, like, I think he's just gonna stay dead. I think the big thing, like, the only way I think for everything to go back is basically for Wanda to finally just let him go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's gonna be the thing that, like, releases, like, the hex and stuff, is she just has to let him die. And that's gonna be, like, the. Her, like, accepting his death finally is gonna, like, reset, like, everything, or expand the hex all the way, or, like, whatever. I don't think, like, they're actually gonna be able to fully bring him back unless, you know, she fully expands the hex or something and it goes into some, like, House of M style shit or whatever. But I also see theories where people think that she, like, the whole goal for all of this or whatever is for, like, her to basically recreate the Infinity Stones, which is, like, in that each of the commercials represents a different Infinity Stone, is, like, what I've seen, that, which I think that's a little bit of a stretch, but it's, like, I could see how people could make, like, certain, like, the watch is, like, the Time Stone.
Sure.
They said that the Hydra soap is in the shape of the Tesseract, that the red spill one or whatever is basically, like, the red liquidy stone from Thor, that the person who couldn't open the food thing and dying on the island is kind of, like, the Soul Stone. So it's, like, I could kind of see the connections that people are making to, like, each of the commercials, how they could be associated with an Infinity Stone, but I really more think it's, like, associated with Wanda's life, which seems, like, more, like, with the Hydra and Stark and, you know, them, like, her and her brother basically starving or whatever while they, like, waited for help. Like, I think it's all just moments from her life, but...
I think the most recent one, I was reading online and I saw a theory, and they were talking about Nexus being related to, there's the multiverse, and in each multiverse there's a Nexus being who's basically in control of that that universe, or has powers to rewrite the universe. And they were referring, I think, to her in that regards being the Nexus person for, like, this universe.
Yeah, where across all different multiverses, like, she's the same in every version of every reality or whatever, that, like, she does not change.
Yeah, so, like, I kind of thought that that was pretty cool, because I think that's kind of leaning into the Doctor Strange kind of thing. So, I mean, it seems more and more plausible, like, listening to what you guys say on a weekly basis, and, like, what I'm reading as far as trying to get up on the lore of this, is that it seems like Doctor Strange is going to be, like, that Luke Skywalker moment at the end, where, like, he's just going to pop in and, like, shit's going to go off the rails. Like, so, yeah, I don't know. I'm interested. Like, I'm intrigued. And, you know, I definitely would like to see, you know, how this plays out, and if they decide to roll this into, like, the Vision comic, where he had, like, kind of, like, a normal life in, like, a suburban kind of area. So, you know, I would like them to branch out a little bit more with this storyline. I mean, they're doing a phenomenal job. I want to see more of it. I don't want it to end with just one season.
So my guess with the Vision stuff, circling back to that, is my theory is she does what Justin said, which is let Vision go, and he dies. But then Sword swoops in and resurrects him as the White Vision, which in the comics was none of the personality. He was just, he was an automaton. Like, he went from point A to point B. He did the job. He was kind of confused most of the time about why people cared, you know, like, he was totally like the Terminator from T2. Like, you know, I don't talk like people. I need your boots, your bike, you know, that type of stuff. But that would be my guess of how they keep him in the MCU, by just, like, reinventing him as the White Vision. And then that gives you wiggle room to bring him back, you know, like, down the line. Like, he still exists. He's just not the same anymore. And then the comics, eventually they circle around and Vision comes back. But he spent, you know, a decade as the White Vision in the comics. So we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, it would be cool to have that Doctor Strange of like him like popping in to like stop Wanda, and then she like expands the hex all the way, and then you get these like, what have you done? And then it just ends.
Like, oh, Wanda, what have you done? Yeah. I mean, I still like your theory of the reverse House of M, like expanding the hex worldwide, and now there's mutants. Like, yeah, I'm down. Let's do that. Like, I wanted to end with Hugh Jackman popping claws and being like, what just happened to me, you know?
Dude, and that's the thing too, is like, I'm wondering, because they're kind of also setting up the fact that, I mean, the kids have gotten their powers or like whatever, but they're like really driving home the one kid, you know, who has more like the Scarlet Witch-esque powers, and in the comics and stuff, he's like insanely powerful. Like, I'm like almost assuming like, what if he's the one that fucking expands the hex? Like, it's not even Wanda. It's right. Like, he fully comes into his powers and goes like fucking ape shit.
Well, and I like how he essentially rats out Agatha without even knowing it, when he was like, you're quiet inside. Like, everyone else around this town is super messed up, but you seem fine. Like, yeah, thought that was good. Well, all right. I think that is a show, gentlemen. So, Justin, why don't you get us on out of here?
You know what, guys? Thank you for listening to another great episode of the That Pixel Life podcast. If you want to play Diablo 2, don't be like Shannon. Just play Diablo 2. If you don't want to play it, like, you don't have to buy it. You don't have to hate it online. You don't have to go on the Blizzard forums and tell them that they're pieces of shit and to bring out Diablo 4. Like, just let people who want to play Diablo 2 enjoy Diablo 2. And if you want to talk about Diablo 2 or WandaVision or any the Nintendo Direct, even if you feel so inclined, you can go over to our Discord. We have lots of fun conversations about all that stuff on a regular basis. Although you can also listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, and on iTunes, if you want to give us a review, you're more than inclined to do so. And we're also on Pandora, right? Is that it? I know I said iHeartRadio last time.
Pandora.
All right. We are on Pandora now. iHeartRadio in the near distant future. And, you know, you can also check out the Facebook group where there's conversations about stuff on there too. And Zach, if Robbie were here, what do you think Robbie would say?
Robbie would say, hey guys, go be great.
Oh, I can't wait for Monster Hunter to come out on March 2nd.
Why? Anybody?